Tropicana Field continues to be unfriendly territory for the New York Yankees. Over the weekend, the Yankees dropped 2 of 3 games to the Tampa Bay Rays, and we are going to recap the series and more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. Another subpar series for the New York Yankees as they drop 2 of 3 games against the Tampa Bay Rays. Tropicana Field continues to be unfriendly territory for the Bronx Bombers, and we are going to recap it as a whole and kind of talk about the series and each game that went along with it. Of course, it's April. We aren't saying to panic about this Yankees team. We think that they're going to figure it out, especially offensively, but there are some things that are concerning that went down during this series, and we're going to talk about them as a whole. Before we get started, if you're new to our show, we thank you for tuning in. We're so happy you joined us to talk some Yankees baseball. If you're a returning member, thanks for continuing to support our brand and our show. Whatever podcasting platform you listen on, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and review to our show. All the support is definitely appreciated. We love all the feedback that we do get, but it does help us with ratings if you guys subscribe and rate and review the content. If you don't want to listen to us on a podcasting platform, you could check us out 2 other ways: on our website, DelahantyMedia.com, or on our YouTube channel by looking up Delahanty Media. All our content is there available for you. There are many ways to listen to our shows. Make sure you're taking advantage of whatever way seems best for you. Obviously, for us, Apple Podcasts and Spotify is probably the best way, but for some of you, that might not be the case. So however you're listening to our show, just keep doing it. We thank you for the continued support. Now, I don't want to waste any time, and I don't want to give you the advertisement because obviously you know how to find us. We'll go through our social media at the end of the show. The series as a whole was rather frustrating for me, and I don't know if you guys agree, and obviously I would love to hear your feedback on what I'm talking about, but I just felt by watching the series, I couldn't catch a break. I just felt angry the entire series, and there was a lot of things that went down that I just was like, you know what, I've had enough of this. I really don't want to watch this anymore. But I tortured myself through it because I do love the Yankees, and obviously I know it's going to get better. But the series was not fun. Heading into the weekend, I knew it was going to be a tough one. Number one, I think a lot of people are really downplaying the Rays. I still think they're a very good team. I think that if their pitching holds up, they're going to be very tough to beat. And people say, yeah, you traded Snell. You let Morton walk. But if you look at the numbers over the last couple of years, the Rays are only a percentage mark worse when their other pitchers are on the mound. They have a surplus, and I mean surplus, of pitching that they could rely on. That's not going to be an issue for them. And in Game 1, the Yankees saw a familiar face in Rich Hill, a guy who pitched for them a couple of years back. He was rather good, to be quite honest with you. Went 6 innings of work, only allowed 4 runs. The Yankees' damage came in 1 inning, and we're going to get to that in just a moment. But Hill outdueled Corey Kluber, who got the start for the Yankees. Kluber did not even get out of the 3rd inning. Ended up pitching 2 1/3, threw 62 pitches in the process, and yes, Kluber was not sharp. However, the Yankees' defense did not help him out. Heading into that defense, the Yankees were without Gio Urshela, who was placed on the COVID-19 list. No, he's not ill. He had side effects from the shot, got the Johnson & Johnson shot. I could relate to him. I got the shot. I felt like I got hit by a bus. However, I would still say get the shot. It's safe for everybody. It's safe for you. If you have the opportunity, take advantage of it. If you do get sick, for the most part, it's a short-term thing, and that's what happened with Urshela. Same thing with me. I guess we're kind of the same breed in a sense because we both got ill from it and we're both okay. So that's my little public service announcement. Get the shot if you have the opportunity. But however, without Urshela, Yankees had to do a little mixing and matching. Rougned Odor was not with the club yet. He was going through protocols to get back. So the Yankees had to start LeMahieu at 3rd and Tyler Wade at 2nd base. LeMahieu makes a costly error. Throwing error pulls Jay Bruce off the base. Wade although it wasn't counted as an error, misses a ground ball that I thought he should have easily had. That kind of sent a spiraling effect, and the Yankees could not get out of the jam. Now, looking at this infield, and I said this on Twitter, and I took a lot of heat for it, but at that point, there was not one Yankee infielder I was willing to have the ball hit to. Yes, I trust LeMahieu, but after the bad throw, I don't know what's going on in his mind. Gleyber, the way he's been, he's kind of a shell of himself in the field. Then you have Jay Bruce at first, who's not really a first baseman, and we're going to talk more about Bruce later on. And then you have Tyler Wade at second base, and I don't trust Wade farther than I could throw him. Regardless, Yankees get down in a rut. Kluber lets up 2 runs in the second, 3 runs in the third. Yankees defense doesn't help him out one bit. The Yankees damage mostly came in the top half of the third inning. That action got started by a Giancarlo Stanton RBI single, followed by an Aaron Hicks home run. Put the Yankees up 4-2, and at that point you're thinking, all right, got Kluber some run support, he's good to go. Unfortunately, it was not enough. The Rays ended up regaining the lead and then keeping it for good by scoring 7 runs in the third and fourth inning combined. Added a home run from Adames in the seventh. LeMahieu followed in the top half of the eighth with a solo homer of his own, but it was not enough. Yankees lose game one, 10-5. Some notable things in this game. Kluber was not sharp by any means. He wasn't your typical Corey Kluber. Opening day, he showed signs of being that Kluber. He wasn't that in this start. Nick Nelson got roughed up in his inning in 2/3 of work. He just simply was not good. Then you got 3 rather strong innings from Lucas Lickey. He only allowed a run. So you're looking at somebody to kind of sacrifice, saving the rest of the bullpen. Sessa came on for an inning of work. But if you're looking at the focal point of the pitching, Kluber and Nelson, both not good. Nelson showed a lot of good signs early on in spring training and throughout. I expect him to bounce back from this one. As for the Yankees offense, they scored a solid amount of runs. They had really one inning that kind of saved them and kept them in the game. Unfortunately, they didn't do much throughout the rest of the game. 7 hits total. LeMahieu, the only Yankee with multiple hits, had a couple of guys with one apiece. They still strike out a lot, struck out 10 times in this game. They really couldn't get people on base to make things happen, and that was a big issue. Defensively, oh my goodness, it was not very fun to watch defensively. Very sluggish early on, and you could tell the ceiling had a little bit to do with that. It's just the ball gets put into play and it really causes you to be concerned. So not fun. The one inning with Kluber on the mound and the LeMahieu error and then the Wade missed ball just did not do well. And you have to look at game one and say, all right, you bring back Herman in game two. Hopefully you get Urshela back, get a little bit more healthy, and then move forward with the rest of the series and try to win the series as a whole. Before we get into Game 2's action, the Yankees did make some roster moves prior to the game. First and foremost, they reinstated Gio Urshela from the COVID list. He was good to go. They also optioned Mike Ford to the alternate site. Ford was called up to replace Urshela. He didn't play in Game 1, was quickly sent back down. He was with the taxi squad. Then Odor shows up to Florida. He's reinstated from the injured COVID list, whatever you want to call it, and the Yankees option Tyler Wade to the alternate site. Now, it may not be such a big deal, but Wade has just not performed. I know the Yankees have high hopes for him and think that he could be a contributor on this team, and he's like a cat. He's got 9 lives. I think he'll be back, but I feel that the Yankees want to give Odor a shot, feel comfortable with Gio Urshela being the backup shortstop in an emergency situation, because think about it. If Gleyber needs a day off, Urshela is more than capable of handling the position for one day. Also, you can kind of see what Odor has. Maybe he catches some lightning in a bottle and helps you out. Can play a little second base. They might try him at third base. They have options. And if Gleyber does get hurt, God forbid, or Urshela gets hurt, Wade's right there at the alternate site, and you could bring him back up. You do have some flexibility there. So, Wade's not gone for long. I expect him to be up sooner rather than later. Like I said, he's like a cat. He's got 9 lives. I don't know how many lives he's got left. But let's jump into game two. Domingo Herman on the mound for the Yankees, and they desperately needed some length out of him. Number one, you don't have an off day coming up for a couple of days. Number two, Corey Kluber gets roughed up. He doesn't go along in his outing, doesn't even get out of the third inning. So the Yankees were hopeful that Herman had it in this one. Unfortunately, that was not the case. Herman does not look good whatsoever. Goes four innings, allows eight hits, four earned runs, struck out five, did let up two home runs. That hurt him. If you go back in Yankees history, he ties the longest streak of consecutive starts in which a starting pitcher has allowed a home run. He is at 12 games. So the long ball continues to be an issue for Herman. And through two starts, he didn't look good in either one. You could chalk up game one to, you know, he hasn't been on a big league mound in a meaningful game. Maybe he was a little amped up. Maybe he was a little too excited. Did have a pitch count. The pitch count got a little high early on. There was no excuses for this one. He just simply did not have it. And it hurt the Yankees because coming off the day in which Kluber didn't pitch well, the Yankees had to go to the bullpen early and get at least four innings of work and try to stay away from the guys that got taxed the day before. The Yankees offense does nothing. Chalked up just five hits. They were 0-for-4 with runners in scoring position, something that continues to hamper them. Left six guys on base. And even when you're not hitting, you're at least looking for walks. Yankees only are able to draw two walks, struck out nine times as a team. Offense was pathetic. And you would think that Chris Archer, the Rays starter, having to come out in the third inning with forearm tightness, hopefully all's well with Archer, nobody wants him to be hurt, that the Rays had a little bit of a disadvantage needing so much work out of their pen. But their bullpen was just as good as Archer was through his 2 1/3 innings of work. They shut the Yankees out, limiting them, like I said, to just five hits, two walks, struck out nine in the process. A very, and I mean very, frustrating performance for the so-called Bronx Bombers. You're sitting here and you're waiting. Now the Yankees are 3-5, and you're like, when are the bats going to get alive? When is it going to happen? The only good thing is Aaron Judge is back in the lineup. Hit a ball about 112 miles per hour. That was good. We're going to talk more about Judge toward the end of the show. We're going to break him down as part of our final segment. And you're just looking at this. You're like, man, this is so not Yankees baseball. You know, you're so used to them hitting the cover off the ball and doing a lot of damage. And when you see five hits and really just getting blanked the route, it's a really frustrating thing. So you lose the first two games of the series. You're coming back in game three. And yes, your confidence has to be low, lost three straight, but in the same token, you have to look at it like this. Montgomery threw the ball well on his opening start. Maybe he'll have that same magic in game three of the series. Right away, we knew it was going to be a long outing for Jordan Montgomery as he walked the first batter. I think it was on four pitches. Somebody who has somewhat good control, you're not expecting that to happen, but there were a couple of sparks that did fly from this game. And let me tell you, this was one of the most frustrating games I've watched in a very long time. And the Yankees ended up winning the ball game. First and foremost, let's get to the whole beanball incident. Montgomery hits two batters. I believe they were both Austin Meadows. It was just, I don't think they were intentional. I don't want to be biased here, but I don't think they were intentional. The first one was a little bit up and in and hit him in the letters in the back, close to the head. If I'm the Yankees, I'm saying, look, Montgomery clearly doesn't have his location today. It's not like he's trying to hit him. The second one kind of rolled in on the inside part of the plate, hit him in the elbow type area. The Rays were upset, and I understand that, and warnings were given after the first one. But I don't think they were intentional. And yes, last year was a whole different situation and scenario. But I don't think this was intentional. I hope that there's not more that goes with this because I think that, like I said, there was no harm intended or anything like that. But the Rays were upset. And quite frankly, I think I would be upset too if I was Kevin Cash and the Rays. I think I would be a little frustrated with that as well. But overall, before we get into this game, obviously, I think that the beanball shouldn't be as big of an issue as, you know, they were making it out to be. And I hope it doesn't keep carrying along because I think that ultimately it will hamper because there are a lot of meetings left between these two teams. Now, let's get to the baseball side of things, shall we? Like I said, Montgomery clearly did not have it. Gave up two runs early in the second inning. The Yankees' offense, however, came back after the Zunino homer in the second, which scored both runs. Gio Urshela hit a bomb, a 453-foot bomb to center field. Two runs scored on that. after a great Gary Sanchez at bat, tied up the game at two. Then the Yankees got more runners on base. Aaron Hicks grounds into a double play. The Yankees regain the lead. They're up 3-2 heading into the bottom half of the third inning. I tweeted this and I felt bad about it afterward. The Yankees' lead lasted about 10 minutes. Randy Arozarena, who's quickly becoming a Yankee killer, he hits a home run to right that just gets out of the ballpark. They take the lead back at 4-3. We had a few calm innings after that. We're going to jump to the top half of the seventh inning. Yankees load the bases. We're going to take you through it. Sanchez gets hit by a pitch. Urshela gets on by an infield single. Gardner walks. Bases loaded. Right guy. Right spot. DJ LeMahieu. Right? Wrong. LeMahieu grounds into an inning-ending double play. That causes the damage to be done. Yankees are unable to score. And right there, I was ready to pull my hair out, to be quite honest with you. I was very upset. I'm like, DJ's the guy I want up. It just didn't work out. Let's go to the top half of the eighth inning. And again, we have a great situation here. Yankees get a bunch of runners on base. Judge walks. Stanton walks. Then you had a pinch runner. Gleyber hits an RBI single to score Judge. They have more runners on base, unable to get anything done. The game's at least tied, so you'll take it. We go to the top half of the ninth. Now, at this point, the Rays are really doing nothing offensively. Yankees are trying to, you know, regain the lead. Top of the ninth. Almost pulled my hair out again. Very upset. Yankees get a nice start to the inning on a Gio Urshela double. It was a ground ball up the middle, hit off the glove of Adames. Urshela, being really heads up, takes the turn to second base, and he's in scoring position right away. Another Brett Gardner walk. And again, right guy, right spot. DJ LeMahieu, right? Wrong. LeMahieu hits a grounder to third base. Third baseman tags the bag, throws over to first, bad throw. LeMahieu goes to second. Gardner goes to third. One out, second and third. Aaron Judge up at the plate. Right guy, right spot, right? Wrong. Couple pitches into the at-bat. Somewhat of a wild pitch. It wasn't even far from the plate. Gardner makes an absolute boneheaded mistake. Breaks for the plate. Wasn't even 2 feet away from the plate. He gets thrown out at third base. And that essentially killed the rally. Judge grounds out a pitch or two later. And that ends the inning. In the bottom half of the ninth, Chapman around a Zunino double. Strikes out the side. We go to extras. The Yankees explode in extras for 4 runs. Started by a Rougned Odor RBI single. Welcome to the Bronx with some runners on. Yankees take the lead 5-4. That was followed by a Gary Sanchez bullet single to center field. Makes it 6-4 Yanks. Then we get a Gio Urshela single to deep right field. Margot has trouble fielding it. It goes to the wall. We get another 2 runs off of that. Urshela goes to third. Yankees lead 8-4. Abreu comes in. He pitches a 1-2-3 bottom half of the 10th. And that is your ball game. Now, here's some important notes. Number one, Abreu was called up as the roster spot because Domingo Herman was optioned to the minor leagues before the game. The reason being was that the Yankees wanted the extra fresh arm. They know the bullpen's been taxed, and they won't need a starter for at least a couple of days. So it looks, as according to Aaron Boone, that Herman will be back on the 10th day when he's available to return. If the Yankees need a starter in between, you may see Michael King or Davey Garcia. Only time will tell with that. Some standouts in this game. Number one, Gio Urshela, the most happy fella. He was incredible in this one, in the 8th spot in the lineup. 4-for-5, a run scored, 3 RBIs, home run, double, single. He was just a triple shy of the cycle. He was incredible. Yankees had 9 hits total. Urshela had almost half of them. He had 4. If you're looking at offensive standouts, he was the guy. And you got to give a shout-out to Odor. His first game as a Yankee, he comes up in a big spot and drives in the run that ended up being the game winner. So although that was all he did at the plate, he was 1-for-5 overall, did score a run, and drove in the game's biggest run. So good for him in his first start as a Yankee. Gardner had 2 walks in the 9-hole, but his base running did ultimately hurt the Yankees as a whole. On the pitching side, Montgomery did not have it. He was not great, but he gave the Yankees somewhat of length. He, like I said, didn't have it, but he battled through. Allowed 4 runs on 5 hits over 5 innings of work. Chad Green continues to be dominant. He gets out all 7 batters he faced, struck out 3. O'Day comes in. He retires both batters he faced on just 7 pitches. We talked about the Chapman inning. He was lights out. And then Abreu looked really good as well. He struck out two in his role coming back up to the big leagues to take that spot. You know, with the Yankees bullpen needing some extra arms, Abreu being able to pitch that 10th inning turns out to be huge for the Yankees. One side note for the Rays I want to get to, Honeywell Jr. making his first professional appearance in almost 4 years, dating back to 2017. He's had four surgeries on his elbow area, which it's an incredible story, and you wish him the best of luck. He was phenomenal over his two innings of work. Started the game, the Rays elected to use him as an opener. He was incredible. Good for him. Happy to see him back. I wish the Yankees would have did a little bit more against him, but it is what it is. Some other notes. Yankees still stink with runners in scoring position. 4-for-15 in this one. They left eight guys on base. So, yes, it wasn't a perfect outing by any means, but they got the job done. A lot more better patience at the plate. Drew seven walks opposed to eight strikeouts. So the Yankees' patience was there. You know, you would like to see the strikeouts kind of dwindle, but the walks were there, which is something we haven't seen over the last couple of games. So it is definitely nice to see. And I think the big thing from this one, before we get into some more series recap numbers and notes, is that you build some momentum heading into your next series in Toronto. Getting swept early in the year is a big momentum downer. It's not good for a club. It's not good for anybody. And we all know, if you look back at past years, especially the last two full seasons, I'm talking 2018, 2019, the Yankees started the year and they were playing sub-500 ball. Both teams ended up winning 100 games. So just because you're not playing well in April doesn't mean you can't be good down the stretch. So I think at that point, you just have to sit back and realize, yes, they're 4-5. It's not the ideal start, but things will get better. And then winning a game like this is a big momentum boost. You know, Montgomery battled through. The Yankees offense battled through. They weren't great. They weren't fantastic. They had their moments where they struggled, but they did enough to get a win. And I think that is a very big trendsetter heading into this week's early series against the Toronto Blue Jays. So, I want to talk about some topics with this series that really stood out to me. Number one, the Yankees defense concerns me. I'm not going to get too much into it, but I do feel that there are some spots that are liabilities, especially when you roll the lineup out with Gleyber at short, Bruce at first. It's still a concern to me. The pitching. The bullpen has been great. I think they have the third best ERA in all of baseball. They are not the problem. It's the starting pitching, and that's something that we saw early on. Kluber didn't have it. Herman didn't have it. Montgomery wasn't his best. The Yankees need those guys to step up, be steady, be contributors, give them length, because if they don't, it's going to be a very long season. Where is Davey Garcia? I think the next time that fifth spot comes around, it's only right to give Garcia the start and see what he's got. It can't be much worse or any different than what you've gotten out of Domingo already. Let's see what the kid's got. Let's roll the dice here and try to take a chance with it. Aaron Judge missed the first game of the series. The Yankees were saying it was general soreness. It's great to see him back in the lineup. He was able to play back-to-back days in the second and third game. I'm just concerned about Judge's overall health. And, you know, because it's such a common denominator with him. It just seems like every year there's something that hampers him. The Yankees need him to be healthy. And I think that's why everybody's so panicked about it. Did he have a reaction from the shot, the COVID shot, and they don't want to say it? Was it truly general soreness in the left side? Who knows? But if you're Yankee fans, you're still holding your breath because obviously we need this guy. We need him to be healthy. Aaron Hicks in the three hole. Hicks has been bad, and I've taken a lot of heat because I've said I'm okay with Hicks being in the three hole. However, I think confidence booster wise, maybe drop him in the lineup a little bit. Let him get back on track, then relook at it. I get it. He's hitting behind Judge ahead of Stanton. It's a great place to hit. But I don't think he's seeing the ball well. I think he needs some time to get ready. I still believe in Hicks as a good player, as a good Yankee, but we need to see that. Gleyber, much better at shortstop when LeMahieu's at first base. And that's going to get me to my next point, Jay Bruce. I was a big advocate during spring training. I thought it made a lot of sense with having Bruce off the bench, playing a couple of days a week, getting some at-bats. But in an everyday role, I am not for it, especially given He doesn't give you much defensively to really say, you know what, Bruce is a monster over there. He really helps the infield. I don't love it. Do I love playing LeMahieu at first base every day? No. But with the addition of Odor, I'm willing to give it a shot. It doesn't hurt to see what you have, and you don't lose any kind of lineup flexibility because Odor's a lefty, so you're subbing in a lefty for a lefty. Maybe bring up Mike Ford, but I just think that the Bruce experiment as an everyday player is not going to pan out for this team. I could be wrong, but I don't love him at first base. You saw a play that LeMahieu made where he was able to scoop up a bad throw from the left side of the infield. Bruce don't make that play. It's just a comfort having somebody at first base that knows the position, has played it, has good mobility, is good defensively. It does help tremendously. Now, my final kind of rant that I want to go on, and I'm going to take a lot of heat for this one too. If Clint Frazier is your everyday left fielder, why are you sitting him in back-to-back games? Aaron Boone, this message is to you, my friend. I don't understand it. I get that he was in a little bit of a slump. I understand that his at-bats weren't as good as they were earlier in the series, or in the season, to be quite frank. But if he's your everyday left fielder, how can you justify not putting him out there to get through the struggles? Don't you think that it's going to hurt his confidence by taking him out of the lineup? And if you want to justify it by saying, you know, Clint's been struggling, we're going to throw Gardner in there and let Gardner play until he figures it out. Well then, why haven't you sat Hicks? Urshela before today really wasn't hitting the ball well. Gleyber, even though he had a hit streak, he's hitting in the low 220s. Jay Bruce was stinking up the joint. So why is Frazier the only one kind of getting this, you know, he needs more time to sit on the bench? If you're really serious about him being your everyday left fielder, Brett Gardner should not be taking at-bats from him. I'm sorry to tell you, but I'm very frustrated by it and I'm sick of it. Gardner almost cost them the game today. And I have nothing against Gardner. I appreciate what he's done over the years and I get it. He wants to end on a good note with this team. Obviously, last year didn't go the way he planned. Wants to have that opportunity to play in front of his family. I get that. But at this point, this is like 3 years now where Clint Frazier's development's getting stunted by Gardner. This 37-year-old has no future place on this team. Isn't it more wise to let Frazier play and let him get through the kinks and let him figure it out? I don't understand what they're doing with Clint Frazier, but if you're not going to play him every day and you're going to keep playing with everything, his emotions and whatnot, then trade him. Right now, he could probably get you the starting pitching help you need. Don't keep him on the bench because you want to play Gardner. You feel like you owe Gardner. That cannot happen. I expect Gardner to play. Obviously, we all do. But it is unacceptable when Frazier's not in the lineup in back-to-back days. Let the kid play unless he's hurt. I don't understand what's so hard about that. Gardner should be getting a day in left field every week, a day or two in center field for Hicks, maybe a day in right field for Judge, and that's it. But Frazier should be playing every day, whether you have him in left field or you have him in right field. You need to develop him because he is important to the future. That's what I don't understand, and that's what makes me upset about it. Do I have a problem with Gardner? No. Do I have a problem with you not playing Tauchman? Yes. If you're going to carry five outfielders, why is Gardner getting more playtime at this rate than Frazier or Tauchman? What's the point? Get some more flexibility on the roster. Actually have a backup shortstop on your roster, not by the name of Tyler Wade. Like, I don't understand it. That's just one thing that really frustrated me about the series as a whole. Yes, Frazier was struggling. Nobody's going to say that he wasn't, but the Yankees are doing a bad job by him because they're expecting him to be great. And then when he's not great, they're putting the pressure on him and saying, oh, you know what? You're not playing well. We're going to just take you out and not play you. What does that do to a young player's mind? You all know that I'm a big Clint Frazier guy, but he has done everything the Yankees have asked him and more to earn that everyday left fielder job. If he's not your everyday left fielder, stop hiding behind it. Come out and say, Gardner's the guy we want playing every day. It's that simple. We know that's the reason. We know that's what the Yankees want. They want Gardner to play every day. It's eventual. They're going to make it so he does play every day. but it's not the right decision. You're looking toward the future. You're trying to get Frazier ready to be an everyday capable left fielder. By playing these games, you're not doing that. Get the kid in the game. Let him play. His confidence will get him back on track. But sitting on the bench watching is not doing him or the Yankees any good moving forward. And that's my final point on it. And that's my final point of the series. I was just very frustrated by it. And watching this game on Sunday, watching the game on Saturday, and not seeing him play made me even more frustrated. Because you're really messing with a young player's mind, and it's not going to get him to perform at a high level. And that's it. So, Aaron Boone, for my sanity, get this kid back in the lineup and let him figure it out. I think he'll do a lot of good things and make you happy with that decision. Now, the Yankees head to Florida to take on the Toronto Blue Jays. Yes, the Blue Jays aren't even allowed in their own country because of COVID-19. Game one, Gerrit Cole Day. He'll take on Robbie Ray. These are projected matchups. On Tuesday, another 7 o'clock start. It'll be Jameson Taillon against Hyunjin Ryu. And then in the third game, Corey Kluber's expected to go against Ross Stripling. That's an afternoon game before the Yankees have an off day before they head back to the Bronx to host the Rays once again for a weekend series. This was a jam-packed show. And like I said before, don't panic yet, Yankees fans. It's April. We've got a lot of baseball left to be played. If you aren't doing so already, or you have something to say about our show today, follow us on social media. You can hit us up on Twitter at PinstripeTalkND, my personal account, Nick Delahanty, and on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We're also on Instagram by searching up Delahanty Media. If you haven't done so already, subscribe, rate, and review on any platform that you listen to our show. All the feedback is greatly appreciated. If you're on our YouTube stream, make sure you hit that little red button as well. We're trying to get our YouTube page higher up in ratings and subscriptions, so help us out on that regard, search of Delahanty Media. Like I said on our last show, we have a lot of big things to announce. I'm going to wait a couple more days to announce that. Maybe on the off day, I'll make that big announcement, so make sure you stay on our social media and kind of keep in tune with what's going on. A lot of good things happening in the Delahanty Media brand. Hopefully the Yankees figure it out sooner rather than later, because I hate going on Twitter and seeing everybody thinking the sky is going to fall. It's not going to fall. We are going to get back on track. It's only a matter of time before the Yankees are playing the baseball we know they are capable of playing. We just got to ride through the storm right now, and hopefully the turnaround begins against the Blue Jays in Florida this early part of the week. Expect another show on Thursday for the off day. We will recap the Blue Jays series and look ahead to the Yankees' upcoming homestand. So we got a lot more to talk about. As always, let's go Yankees. Keep wearing those pinstripes. Keep being proud Yankee fans. This has been another episode of the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I am your host, Nick Delahanty. We will talk to you very soon, everyone. Take care.